Let's
Blog
do it.
Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh 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 yeah. Oh, no. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Roan, in a group, coming to you live. We got brother Kevin Lynn. He's coming strong today. The African origins of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Got brother George Williams, Kwanzaa, and so much more. It's family time. Come on in, brothers. Come on in. Come on in. It's love time. Because there is no greater love than for self and kind. No better love. Welcome, brothers and sisters and brothers, to African American Empowerment Saturday. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for African Americans. So I want to be crystal clear. This show and all that it represents is about several things, but I'm going to try to coalesce it into one if I can. When you're describing a group of people that in this case we're trying to facilitate change for, I'm going to try to use discretion there if I can. When you talk about African American empowerment, I got to start in the beginning. Those individuals who were transported here against their will, right? We're not immigrants. We came here in shackles and chains. We are descendants of those people, individuals who came from Africa into the Caribbean and into the Americas and into this country and into the hands of British, Spanish, and French captors, naming all of them. And then we had to figure out how to manifest through the changing of the hands of the government or the ties who bound us. So when we talk about African American empowerment, we're talking about the descendants of African slaves and those aboriginal individuals, people and communities who were already here, people of color, right? That's what we're talking about. So I just want to be clear that the work that we're doing is to empower our people, because we are in a condition that we need to fix. And we need to do that work of working on ourselves mentally, physically, spiritually, socially, culturally, and emotionally, because we have to heal. And this is a part of the healing process, and we have to rectify those things which are wrong with us. We have to do that. We have to do some business now. That business is to focus on ourselves in five areas in order to heal, right? I'm not saying leave. I'm not saying stay. I'm saying wherever you are on this planet, now it's time to rectify those things which have inhibited us, that have caused us to feel small, right? To really look at this color issue. We're beautiful just the way we are, and we're going to continue to encourage you to see your natural beauty just the way it is. And see, we don't have to talk about other people, right? We're talking about ourselves, our issues that we have to face. We have to have some re-education and some re-indoctrination. That's the work that we have to do. So there's five areas and more that we have to really work in order to get stability. Political. You got to have a political agenda, brothers and sisters, right? A political agenda that helps you to understand how to navigate this political system in this country. We have to have a system in place that educates us on how to navigate this system that we currently function in. You got to understand the laws. You got to understand everything happens within this culture and society, and learn how to navigate and use it to your best benefit. There's more. Then you're going to have an economic agenda, because you cannot build institutions poor. Can't do it. You cannot build institutions that define your own reality without money, without understanding how capital and capitalism work, period. So they set you off onto your freedom, so-called freedom, without a plan and then we build institutions, right? Because we're learning along the way that they literally destroy. We know that to be true if you know your history. And then now the transitions of rolling highways through all of our communities, decimating us at the core, but we're still here. I'm saying that again. We're celebrating today because we're still here. So when I start this show saying, oh, yeah, again, it's because we are still here in spite of all the challenges, all the changes, and all the obstacles. That's right. You have to have an A. The A now, and I'm spelling peace, is athletic. That means you got to take care of yourself. Somebody better listen to me, brothers and sisters. You got to get your diet straight. You got to get your butt up off the couch, off that chair, and get up and do some moving. And then stay off the processed and refined foods. Get back to natural, healthy eating and living. Get outside into nature. Get you some fresh air and some sunshine. That's what you got to do with your A. You have to be able to invest now back into your physical body. Your mental, physical, and emotional health is important. You got to challenge yourself to make sure that those areas are taken care of and that you do something every day. Stay away from the sugars. Stay away from the salts. They don't work for us. They don't work for us. Get that part. Stay away from all the drugs and the alcohol. I can't tell you how to live. I'm just telling you what you should do now on to the C. Culture. Relevant cultural programs like this one and many, many more that you're going to hear about as we continue to go along. We need cultural refinement that have us confident in who we are, not reactive, but responsive, right, to the situations that we face in this country. And if we know who we are, we can navigate well. You got to know who you are. You got to educate your children, yourselves, and your family. The last is education. It's a comprehensive education that really looks at all aspects of who we are as human beings. We need to find and refine and regain humanity. And if you look in our communities, we're losing it because we are starving. We are in starvation mode spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, and financially. Let's get it together, brothers and sisters. And now it's the Stan Mack in a moment. I'll be right back.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just,
man,
I
we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
So I just explained the peace concept, the peace process, right? You can have any spiritual practice you want, but you got to have a solidified foundation for how you're going to navigate in this existing land in which you live in.
But we must unify. And let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
Brother Stan is so right. We have to do that. We need institutions that define our own reality, and we need to stop trying to get in to fit in and use our best and our brightest to build our communities, to build our Fortune 500 companies, to be having global and national and multinational corporations that work for us, that employ and educate and promote and develop. That's what we got to do. And now it's for my segment, Mr. Willie Lynch. Oh, it's my favorite. And Kwanzaa segment with Brother George. Oh, yeah. Come on. Brother George, bring it.
Bring it. What?
What? I see you rocking out there. I see you rocking out there. I see you rocking out there. Brother George, how are you? Welcome to the show, brother.
I'm doing fine, brother, and thank you for the invitation, and thank you for the opportunity to do this each week, you know, with our listening audience.
Quite welcome, sir.
Today's Kwanzaa principle is Ujima, collective work and responsibility to build and keep our community together to make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and to solve them together. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. We are all, by nature or by choice, members of a number of different social groups, from our racial or sexual orientation to our family of birth, to our church, workplace, and social group. Our membership benefits us and the group in many ways, and it also involves responsibility. For each of us to be responsible for ourselves as far as possible, the strength of the community is based on the strength of its membership. For all of us to be responsible to and nurture our various communities so that they, in turn, can nurture us. And that's really going to lead into what Dr. Boyce Watkins says in the Ten Commandments of Black Economic Power. And this is Commandment 9. Always leave a worthy inheritance. One thing you must understand about wealth, if you are ever going to have anything in life, is the following. Large sums of wealth are typically accumulated across multi-generations. To think that one person can do everything by himself in one generation is like expecting one person to run a relay race that should include four people. Think of wealth like a rectangle. That rectangle is measured with two variables, its height and its width. So a 2-inch by 4-inch rectangle might have a length of 2 inches and a height of 4 inches. If I want to increase the size of the wealth triangle, I have two things I can increase, the width or the height. So your family wealth can be seen as this rectangle with a couple of small adjustments. Instead of width in inches, think of width as the number of relatives working towards the same goal. If your mother, sister, and brother are working with you, then your family wealth triangle has a height of 4. Now, instead of inches in height, think of your height as time. If your family has been working to build wealth for 5 years, your height is 5. If you've been working towards this goal for 100 years, your height is 100. I want you to imagine a person who has had an average of 5 family members working to build family wealth for the last 40 years. Their wealth triangle size would be 5 times 40, which equals 200. Imagine a person who has been building wealth alone. Their wealth number of relatives is 1. Also, imagine that this person has been trying to build wealth for 3 years. The size of their wealth triangle would be 1 times 3, which equals 3. So there's almost no way that an average person with a wealth rectangle of, excuse me, I think I was saying triangle instead of rectangle, that one person, so there is almost no way that an average person with a wealth rectangle of 3 can compete with a family with a wealth rectangle of 200. This means that wealth typically comes from two things: a large group of people working together to acquire wealth over a long period of time. So getting married and staying that way makes a difference. Training your children to help in the family business makes a huge difference. Creating solid estate plans with instructions for the next generation is important. So I ask you this question: what's the size of your wealth rectangle? How wide is it? And how long is it? And if it's not very high and not very long, then this might explain why your economic situation is not what you would like for it to be. And I think that he also wants us to translate this not just with the family, you know, your nuclear family, but with your racial family, you know, your cultural family, the African American, how we, you know, really have been conditioned not to support ourselves. And so our wealth rectangle is only very small because we have few participants trying to make it larger and solving the problems of the community. So I think that those two definitions, you know, between the Kwanzaa principle and one of the Ten Commandments, that they suited and fit well today. So, Brother Marvin, unless you have a question for me, back to you.
Thank you, Brother George. Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent. Peace. And now, the empowerment, African-American empowerment question of the week is going back to collective work and responsibility. What is it that you can share with a brother or a sister today about the importance of collective work and responsibility where we are right now?
The biggest thing is that we have to learn to be, like, to participate where our lane is. Like, whatever our lane is, then we need to be actively contributing, because our people, I tell you, we can talk of a storm. And then when it comes to action, it's like we expect someone else to do what we talked about. And really, when you talk about something, you should be prepared and you should have a plan that you're willing to head up. And then other people more than likely will probably follow the plan. And so we have to learn how to take on the responsibility that we are capable of within the community and act on it as a group of individual people. I hope that answers the question, bro.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Excellent job. Thank you, brother.
Thank
Brothers
you.
And sisters, what the truth is that sometimes we don't want to face, that is, we need all hands on deck. The truth is, we need you. We need every living body and every living soul. And I know you got to take care of your own. I got that part, right? But there is a great need right now within our communities. The first work is with ourselves. I got that. But we're going to have to come together and do the work of establishing foundation for future. We're going to have to educate our children. We're going to have to get in these streets and do some correction for direction. Now, I know some of y'all scared. I know. I know you scared of your young people. I know you scared of the guns and the knives and the violence and all of that. But you can't be scared of your own children. You can't be scared of your own people. You cannot be afraid. We cannot do this work alone. We need bodies. We need mental resources. We need physical resources. We need emotional resources. And we need financial resources to do this work. We do. We need you. We need all of you right now, because all of us need each other, and we need resources. We need time. We need talented people who are willing to give their energy wherever you are. to our cause. If you can send an email, if you can do whatever you need to do, because the work needs to be done today. Help us build the empowerment. Help us build our community. And help us rebuild ourselves today, every day, each day, every day, and one day at a time. Brothers, we need you. Sisters, we need you. It's Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment for African Americans. How about that? The descendants of the American slaves. And we're representing them. And now, without delay, we got Brother Akebulan coming in today. He's going to be building on the foundation he laid as he will share with us the African origins of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Brother George, you ready? Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Brother Akebulan, come on in. Oh, yeah.
Bring it. What?
Time to bring it. Brother Akebulan, welcome to our online classroom. Hotep, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine. That was a powerful piece George gave, and I got to come behind him.
Thank you.
I do the best I can. I do the best I can. That was a powerful piece.
Let me introduce you.
All right, go ahead, brother.
Let me introduce you.
Go ahead.
This is our brother Akebulan. He is a community activist. He is an author of the book Divorce Western Culture. Listen to this. Divorce Western Culture, Not Your Mate. He is also a member of ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Culture. And he is going to lay a foundation today that sits on top of the work that he did in his last session. I hope I got that right, Brother Akebulan. I'm going to turn it over
to
you.
I'll make up for it.
And I appreciate you
being
here.
I'm fine. Can I go?
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Slide.
The African origin.
Thank you, Brother George. I'm sorry, Brother Akebulan.
Of Judaism.
I dropped the ball.
Go ahead.
Akebulan.
Go ahead. Let me know where I can go.
Do one thing real quick.
I'm
sorry.
Go ahead.
All right. 845-277-9250. Thank you, Brother George. Is the number to call for the dial-in line, right? If you want Q&A at the end. But also, if you want Slido today to slide your question in as we go, it's slido.com. The number today is 303-2885. 302, go up to slido.com and just put in 302-2885 and then put your question in. All right. Back to you, Brother Akebulan.
The African origins of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The African origins of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. A European historian named Arnold J. Toynbee made this statement. He said, "The Negro has not indeed brought any ancestral religion of his own from Africa to captivate the hearts of his white fellow citizens in America. His primitive social heritage was of so frail a texture that save for a few shreds, it was scattered to the winds on the impact of our Western civilization. Then he came to America, spiritually as well as physically naked, and he has met the emergency by covering his nakedness with his enslavers' cast-off clothes." I just read that from a book titled A Study of History by Arnold J. Toynbee, Oxford University Press, 1946, page 129. My elder said, substantiate, so I'm substantiating. Toynbee said, "We didn't have any religion of our own." He said, "We came to America primitive, spiritually and physically naked, and we had to cover our nakedness with the white man's cast-off clothes." Now, if you don't know your history, he can get away with that. Phyllis Wheatley born 1753, is considered the first African-American author of a published book of poetry. Born in West Africa, she was kidnapped and sold into slavery at the age of 7 or 8 and brought to North America. I give her a pass because just coming out of slavery, she didn't know her history. This is what she said on being brought from Africa to America. "'Twas mercy brought me from my pagan land. Taught my benighted means dark, taught my dark soul to understand that there is a God, that there is a Savior too." She was taught, we came from a pagan land, Africa. She was taught, we had no spiritual concepts. She pretty much co-signed what Arnold Toynbee said. Well, I know my history. I prefer to call it our story and not his story. I'm not going to let Arnold Toynbee get away with that. Someone a few weeks ago questioned the importance of history. Why is history important? It's a mind changer. It's a mind changer. It's a mind changer. We're in a court of law. African culture has been attacked. We must first lay down a foundation. If you don't lay down a foundation, counsel could say, objection, Your Honor, lack of foundation. I'm here to prove that Judaism, Christianity, and Islam had its origins in Africa. Last time I was here, I proved to the court that there was no such thing as an individual. Webster has definitions for concepts that don't exist. I said, and I proved that there was no such thing as an individual. Otherwise, no man is an island, nothing new under the sun. It means the same thing. You can't go into the seclusion of your home and create something totally independent of that which came before. You said to yourself, I think I'll invent the television. How can you? Without knowledge of positive and negative charges. How can you without the battery, the Morse code, the light bulb? All right, I'll invent the television. I'll invent the airplane. How can you without knowledge of the hot air balloon, the kite, the compass, the automobile? You can't do anything totally independent of that which came before. So why do you think you have a religion totally independent of spiritual concepts that came before? You don't. To have a Bible, you need paper. Who invented paper? The forerunner to today's paper is Egyptian papyrus. You need writing. Again, there are the Egyptians with the metaneta, otherwise hieroglyphics. You need ink. Again, there's the Egyptians. The same characters, Adam, Eve, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are in all three books, the Torah, the Christian Holy Bible, and the Holy Quran. The problem we have is people recognize the one that came before, but they don't recognize the one coming after. Just like your parents don't like your music, their parents did like their music. Islam recognizes Christianity because, no, Islam recognized Christianity because Christianity that came before Islam. And throughout the Holy Quran, Jesus is highly praised. Christianity recognizes Judaism because Judaism came before Christianity. Christians give Moses and the other prophets much praise. Now, looking over their shoulders, Judaism does not recognize Jesus as the one to come. Jews do not regard the New Testament as a part of their canon. Otherwise, books worthy of acceptance. They object the use of the term Old Testament. Old compared to what? We don't recognize the New Testament, they say. Christians don't recognize Islam. In their arrogance, they said, show me Muhammad in the Bible. The Jews can say the same thing about Jesus. Show me Jesus in the Torah. All three religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, recognize the one that came before, but they do not recognize the one that came after. All three recognize Egyptian spiritual concepts because Egyptian spiritual concepts came before all three. Kemet, otherwise Egypt, is in Africa. The OJs, in their hit song Log Train, seem to be confused about where Egypt is. But I'm not confused. Egypt is in Africa and has always been in Africa. And now that I have laid down the foundation, Exhibit A, Your Honor, Abdullah Yusuf Ali, Holy Quran. Abdullah Yusuf Ali, Holy Quran. My elder says substantiate. And Dr. Ben and Dr. Beryl Shingle says, don't go out the Bible, stay in the Bible. Don't go out the Quran, stay in the Quran. This Holy Quran has 9 pages dedicated to ancient Egypt. I'll be reading from Appendix 4. It reads, and I quote, in order to get some idea of the comparative chronology of Egypt and Israel, we must first consider what data we have for Egyptian chronology. Israel's surviving records date from a time many centuries later than Israel's contact with Egypt. On the other hand, Egypt's records in monuments, inscriptions, tombs, etc. are rich and absolutely reliable as far as they go. In other words, man feels time. Time feels the pyramid. Exhibit B, Your Honor, the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. For those of you who have a Bible with red letter scripture, although there was no red letter scripture, but for those who have a Bible that has red letter scripture, this is J.C. speaking. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I repeat, Jesus said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Now, where did the prophets get their wisdom from, since Jesus did not come to abolish the law or the prophets? Exhibit C, Your Honor, Acts chapter 7, verse 22. Acts chapter 7, verse 22. And Moses, was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. It did not say a little bit of wisdom. It did not say some wisdom. It said Moses learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Your Honor, I want to make the court aware that Moses had an Egyptian name, like the Egyptian pharaoh Thutmose. Abraham's name was changed to Abraham. Sarah became Sarah. Jacob became Israel. Saul became Paul. But Moses kept his slave master's name. I'm just saying, Your Honor, if Moses' people were enslaved to the Egyptians, as they say in the Bible, you'd think Moses would have gotten rid of his slave master's name. But then he was married to an Ethiopian woman. I can see the predicament he was in, being that Ethiopia is the mother of Egypt. The Bible is a book about the cosmos, the sun, moon, and stars in the sky. It's a non-fictional story. It's fictionalized. It has passed the test of time because real occurrences were weaved into a tale of fiction. When you read the children's story, The Little Red Hen, you can weave out the truth in the story without running around telling people that a hen talked. But when it comes to the Bible, people just lose their mind. They literally believe a serpent, otherwise snake, talked. A donkey talked in Numbers chapter 22, verse 21 to 39. Paraphrasing, the donkey says, "I'm tired of you beating mine." Albert Einstein, the great Albert Einstein, said, "There's two infinites, the universe and human stupidity." He said he wasn't sure about the universe. To know God, you must know numbers. How are you going to know what's so many light years away if you don't know numbers? God is infinite, and numbers are infinite. There's only nine numbers and a cipher or zero. By adding a zero to a number, numbers go on and on and on. When you have two or more numbers, you reduce it to a single number by adding the numbers together. When Christians read the Bible, they just read words. Jews, the author of the book, is counting numbers. People who have the right number sequence can operate the computer in your home from India. You need numbers to build pyramids and split atoms. You cannot use the common alphabet code when reading the Bible. You must use the Hebrew alphabetic code because the Torah, which came before the New Testament, and the Quran has its own alphabet code. Remember, there were no vowels back then. Therefore, God is GD. In the alphabet code you use, G is the seventh letter of the alphabet. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Each letter has a corresponding number. However, in Hebrew, G has a number value and a position value of 3. Not 7, but 3. D has the number 4. So God is 3 plus 4 equals 7. Nature, remove the vowels like a netter, metanetter, N-T-R. N has a value of 50. T has a value of 9. R has a value of 200. 50 plus 9 plus 200 equals 259. 2 plus 5 plus 9 equals 16. 1 + 6 = 7. God and nature has the same number. That lets us know there is a relationship between God and nature. There's a difference between the outer Bible and the inner Bible. What I'm giving you today is the inner Bible. There are spiritual keys to a clear understanding of the Bible, but they are lost in a literal reading of the Bible. Here are some spiritual keys. Samson killing a lion with his bare hands is the sun killing the zodiac sign Leo during the hottest month in the year. The key is in the word Samson. Samson killing a lion with his bare hands during the hottest time in the year, Leo. Mary Magdalene shows up to Jesus' tomb at dawn. What's the key there? The key word is dawn. What happens at dawn? Dawn is when the sun rises. Not the S-O-N, but the S-U-N. When you read the Bible, you can't read it in a vacuum, because nature abhors a vacuum. My elder, peace be unto him, we said it all the time. I wasn't sure what he meant when he said nature abhors a vacuum until I saw the movie Jurassic Park. In the movie Jurassic Park, scientists were playing God. They created dinosaur raptors. Jeff Goldberg said, "Aren't you worried about them breeding?" The scientists answered, "They can't. We control the chromosome." The scientist goes on to say all the dinosaurs they created are female, and that invertebrate embryos are inherently female. They need an extra chromosome to make them male. We denied them that. Jeff Goldberg looked puzzled and said, "One thing we learned from evolution is nature will not be contained. It will find a way." Those female dinosaurs found a way to reproduce the male because nature abhors a vacuum. You cannot read the Bible in a vacuum. You must weigh it against the knowledge you currently have. You must ask yourself, if Joshua stopped the sun, who was pulling the earth while the sun is taking a break? I repeat, if Joshua stopped the sun, who is pulling the earth while the sun is taking a break? Does the sun move? Yes, it does. Its powerful gravitational pull causes the earth to move as it does. If the sun stopped, the earth would stop circling around the sun and shoot out into space. If the moon stops, I don't care how great a swimmer you are, you won't be able to tread that much water. That passage is talking about the spirit and the flesh, your sun and your moon. For example, a man makes a marriage vow. He promised to love and be faithful to his wife. While his wife is at work, he decides to go to the beach. He's sitting in the beach chair reading Bruce Bridges' book, Recapturing the African Mind, while reading Kim Kardashian walks past him in a string bikini. The sun or light within starts to flicker and is about to go out. You've seen a light bulb flicker before you found it in the dark. The man's light within is flickering. He remembers his marriage vows and says, "Son, the spirit within, be still. Moon, his body, keep your hands to yourself. The universe is a grand man or mind. In ancient times, the word man meant mind, the mind of both female and male. The universe is a grand man. Man or mind is a miniature universe. To show you how infinite the universe is, our sun is a star. There are stars out there larger than our sun. I know it's hard to believe, but there are stars out there larger than our sun. You can't tell because they are so far away. If Shaquille O'Neal stood next to me, you could see he is larger. But if he was to keep backing up until he reached the end of the block, it would look like I'm larger than he. Some stars larger than our sun are so far away that it would take over 100 years to get there in a rocket. Your body, your universe, is infinite as well. There's only far that science can go and no further. The Bible has several levels of understanding. If you want to take it literal, like Baba Maxwell mentioned last week, that's one way. But for those like me who seek higher knowledge, there are many more levels. Sarah, Abraham's wife, Sarah being barren, literally could mean she could not have children. It could also mean she had no culture. It could also mean she had no spiritual awakening. Samson killing a lion with his bare hands could mean Samson or the sun wrestling the zodiac sign Leo, the hottest month in the year. But it can also be your spiritual nature wrestling with your animalistic nature and prevailing. The parent to Hebrew writing is Egyptian hieroglyphics. The original Hebrew alphabet is a blend of Egyptian hieroglyphics and Sumerian cuneiform. Therefore, when I see a Hollywood movie written by Jewish writers, I look for symbolisms. Since they know Egyptian history, they know symbolism. Hieroglyphics, otherwise metaneta, otherwise hieroglyphics, had multiple meanings. A picture of a heart could mean a literal heart. It could also mean love, conscious, or any other meaning. This information is not new to you. You got this in elementary school when you were 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. A picture of an eye, a picture of a heart, and a picture of a flower could mean I love flowers. In Egypt, to get to what the Christians call heaven, your heart had to be weighed on a scale against the feather of truth, and the scale had to balance. Literally, this would be impossible because the heart weighs so much more than a feather. Figuratively, it makes sense. The heart represents consciousness and the feather represents truth. If you can say in all honesty, I have not lied, I have not stolen, I have not committed adultery, then your heart is as light as a feather and you can enter the kingdom of heaven. Like a heart representing consciousness, a picture of a son could mean the son above, a male child of a father and mother. It could also mean light. It could mean knowledge. It could mean wisdom. When writing as we know it came along and replaced picture writings with words, the authors of the Torah retained the old wisdom for themselves. Instead of a picture of a son, they wrote the word son spelled S-O-N instead of S-U-N. You have to convert the word back to pictures. JC, speak the language of the people. Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, is the light of God. Reading from the Good News Bible, Matthew chapter 26, verse 63 to 64. The Good News Bible, Matthew chapter 26, verse 63 to 64. Again, the high priest spoke to him. In the name of the living God, I now put you under oath. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus answered, so they said, but I tell all of you, from this time on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right side of the Almighty and coming into the clouds of heaven. Let's address God as the Father. If you read in the Bible, I'm going to give you an example. If you read in the Bible that a man named Carter was George's father, and later on in Scripture, you read that Carter had no children, now we have a contradiction. At first you said Carter was George's father, and now you're reading that Carter had no children. This contradiction is removed when you hold the spiritual keys. Words have more than one meaning. Father is a male parent. Father is also the founder. Father is also the originator. In this instance, Carter was Carter G. Woodson, the father of black history. But, Brother Akebalon, it's not talked about history here. It clearly states that Carter was George's father. Father is also a priest, Father Carter Flanagan. God is the father, the founder. My father and I are one. My mother and I are one. Here's another contradiction. In Genesis chapter 16, Abraham has a son named Ishmael. Yet in Genesis chapter 22, God tells Abraham to offer his only son Isaac as a sacrifice unto me. Isaac was not Abraham's only son. I just mentioned he had a son in chapter 16 named Ishmael. So how can Isaac be his only son? The Bible, part fiction, part nonfiction, was not intended to be historically accurate. It's Hebrew folklore telling the story of the second son, which they were. Africans had stories about how life began, and they wanted to tell the story from their perspective. Jesus' lineage is in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. Jesus' lineage is in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. In Matthew, Jesus' father Joseph was the son of Jacob. In Luke, Jesus' father Joseph was the son of Heli. That's a contradiction. Joseph can't have two papas. The contradiction is removed when we find out that Matthew, that's Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, Jesus' lineage is through Joseph. In Luke, Jesus' lineage is through Mary. But again, there's another contradiction. The contradiction is they told us Mary and Jesus didn't have sex. Therefore, Joseph's lineage doesn't count, and Solomon is removed. You can't believe what you will, as Brother Maxwell said last week, I'm not going to take anything away from you, what you believe in. I'm not going to take that from you. But for me personally, there is no contradiction here because they had sex. You can believe whatever you want to believe. I'm not on the show to take away your beliefs. But as for me, they had sex. The way we were taught, Mary and Joseph couldn't have sex because Eve ate the forbidden fruit, and coming through a woman is impure. Now, I think that's sickening. The way we were taught, Mary and Joseph couldn't have sex because Eve ate the forbidden fruit, and coming through a woman is impure. When I was working, a co-worker came to me whispering, he's a grown man in his 50s. He came to me whispering, I kept along. When you found your mother had to, you know, in order for you to come in the world, how did you feel? I thought it was rather humorous. So I played like I didn't know what he was talking about. He continued, I mean, when you found out your mother had to, you know, with your dad, for you to come into the world, how did you feel about that? Then I remember Dr. Ben saying, speak the language of the people. So I spoke to him in my hood language. So I said to him, I understand you now. You can't face the fact that your dad threw your mom's legs over her head to get you here. Now that image is in your mind. That's what happened to us. We got screwed. Your Honor, I rest my case and turn it back over to Marvin.
Brother Akevlin, oh my goodness. That's the way to close it out. Woo. Thank you, brother. All right, 845-277-9250. Brother George, you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
I am.
Barely.
Brother Kevin, thank you. Right? This is, again, right, we have to be real about some things, right, and we have to be honest with ourselves. And the quality of the conversation is education, right? Brother Stan used to say, correction for direction. When you know the truth will make you free. And so I just want to say before we get into Slido and get to the top of the line for some of the questions that we have on the line, thank you, brother. Right? Thank you for an excellent, well-thought-out presentation. I won't say brother. I'm going to say counselor, right, because you laid that down pretty well. You stated your case really well. So I'm going to turn it over to Brother George for a minute for a few comments before we go to Slido.
Well, I, as always, I like when people come vetted. You know, come with your, with the information to back what you're saying and not just make a statement and statement should stand because you said it. You know, show where this material came from. You know, make your case. And the brother made a solid case. And so anyone that wants to challenge his position should as well come with information from the book that states that what he said was wrong. You know, otherwise, it was a learning experience for me. You know, it was a very good learning experience. And I thank you as well, Brother Kevin Lass.
Thank you, brother. Absolutely. That was a great class. Great class. Man, I'm loving it. Again, knowledge is power. And now we'll go to Slido, Brother Kevin, if you don't mind, and then we'll go to the lines. The number, again, is 845-277-9250. If you're out there listening online, we welcome you today. We can't do this program without you. But, again, right, this is African-American empowerment. I want to be clear. Right, we have to understand what we've been taught through our oppression, and then we have to think about how we can unmind or recapture our African minds, our original minds, that the minds that our ancestors had before they came over here, and then grow ourselves. So let's go to Slido. All right, Slido.com. The number today, if you still want to jump in, you got time, is 303-288-5303-2885, and that's slido.com. All right. All right, the first comment here is the African origins of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, a very interesting topic. Most of our basic knowledge is based on what we were taught during our enslavement and oppression. We must re-educate ourselves. What do you think about that, Brother Kevin?
Well, if you just read the Bible, a lot of times people don't read the Bible, for example. The preacher reads it for them and tell them what passages to read. And he's very selective in the passages. I can give some passages in the Bible, and you wouldn't believe it's in the Bible because the preacher is not going to quote any passages that is detrimental. So if you actually read the Bible, you'll see certain things. Then also, when you see a contradiction, you come to a brick wall. Don't try to walk through a brick wall. There has to be another reason. There has to be another explanation. And that's what we need to do. So, yes, they taught us a certain way, but common sense is not so common. Sometimes things just take common sense. If you read it and it don't make sense, then you got to look for another answer. But we do stuff like this. If the Bible says Joshua stopped the sun, Joshua stopped the sun. If the Bible says a donkey talk, a donkey talk. If the Bible says Jonah was in the belly of a big fish, Jonah was in the belly of a big fish. Well, I mean, churches don't do that. Children do not come home and say, Mom, three little pigs talk. They don't do that. I sometimes wonder who's the children, who the adults.
All right, let's go to the next slide. How do we become free from our religious indoctrination?
Well, I love the Bible. But then when I say I love the Bible, I'm reading it from a different perspective than others are reading. I'm reading it from ancient wisdom. And yes, we have been indoctrinated, but you have to do like I've done now. It took a lot of nerve to come to this class and listen to what I had to say. Because when I go to lectures, people talk about everything but religion. That's not on the table. You can talk about everything but religion. I have been uninvited to some African quarters because I talk about religion. I know a guy who wasn't as conscious as I am. And he said to me, he was a devoted Christian. He said, Kevlon, why would they take away our name, our language, all aspect of people's culture, and live with our religion? I said, it's funny you ask that question. They wouldn't. That's the first thing you take. That what Constantine did. Constantine said, wait a minute. I control the politics, but for me to all be all-powerful, I got to make this a Christian state. That way I can control the politics and religion. If you don't control the religion, then somebody can overthrow you. That's why some countries, the United States, have problems. Because Bruce Bridges mentioned they use the military, the missionary, and the, I forgot the third M, right? Some countries, your religion ain't going to work. So they have no choice but to come in with the weapons. So we just have to arm ourselves, that's all.
All right.
And also, too, to the brother's question, I got off track. Cause, could you repeat the question again? Because I may have another answer for them.
Okay. How do we become free of our religious indoctrination?
Yeah, I got source material. I got source material. I got books. And also, most people got the King James Bible. They don't have the 1611 King James Bible. They think they have the same thing. They think the Old Testament is Jewish writing or Hebrew alphabet. No, that's English. So you can understand. And you don't have the King James Version because the King James Version, if you go online to archivebooks.com, where you can look up old books because anything before 1923 falls under public domain and you get it. You type in King James Bible 1611, and you'll see it's not the same Bible that you have at home. The 1611 King James Bible says Prince James, not King James. It says Prince James.
Mm.
For Jesus, it says I-E-S-U-V-S. For Job, the book of Job, it says I-O-B. For Joseph, it says I-O-S-E-P-H, because J is later. J might have been around by at that time, but it just come into being. So if you actually, you can go look these things up. That one, you can look online. It's about 1,509 pages online of the 1611 Bible. You can also order the Bible online. And I collect old Bibles. I got 10 old Bibles. In my Bible, it has what certain words mean. It has in the Bible, the old Bibles that I have, that dark mean affliction, black mean affliction. It has light mean wisdom. It has oak means, it has symbolism in the Bible itself. But the Bible today doesn't have that. Some people went to the point where they said, all you need is the New Testament. You don't need the Old Testament. That's just like saying, I just got to hear from the chair. I ain't got to know about the parents. No, it don't work that way. So the information is out there if you're looking for it. Go ahead.
All right. I think you made a great point. Perspective, right? And taking it from the ancient wisdom perspective is pretty cool. All right. Here's the next slide. It's all based on the religions of our ancestors. The problem is we don't recognize it because our minds have been controlled for so long.
And that wasn't a question. That was a statement, and it's a profound statement. All this is the wisdom of our ancestors. But we're not getting the wisdom of our ancestors. We're getting the watered-down version. And then they're going to turn around and tell us we didn't have no spiritual concepts. For example, here's the wisdom of our ancestors. You know that you see sun, but you don't know why sun. You see moon, but you don't know why moon. So you say to yourself, there has to be a force out there beyond my comprehension. Some people call that force God. Some call it, they have different names for that. God is anything beyond your comprehension. If you can comprehend it, then it's man. If you can't comprehend it, then it's God. The problem I have is that we're contributing stuff to God that should be contributed to man. You got your education. You work hard. And you applied for a job. And you say, God gave me this. No, that's man. Now, if a meteorite is heading towards the earth, and science with all that technology is not unable to stop that meteorite from hitting the earth, then that's God. All right? So if it's beyond your comprehension, and then, too, here's another little sidebar. A lot of people say atheists and agnostics don't believe in God. They never even talk to find out what they believe in, right? Everybody with a least amount of sense knows there's a force out there beyond their comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that. You, for example, here's a man and a woman get together, they have a child. So we know childbirth. We experience it. We know how a child comes into being. We know that a child starts off at the egg. And a woman puts her X chromosome in that egg. And now she waits for the man. If the man gives up an X, it's two X in the egg, the child gonna be a girl. If the man gives up a Y, it's X and a Y, the child is going to be a boy. We know all that. Oh, that's man. But we don't know why you. Why me? Why in all this had to happen? That point is God. Atheists believe that. Agnostics believe that. What they don't believe is you taking that which is the ultimate of all causes, which I call God. What they don't believe is you taking that which is the ultimate of all causes, and then you're going to take that force and manifest itself into a human being with blonde hair, blue eyes, white skin, and call it God. That's the part they don't believe. That's the part I ain't buying.
All right. Last slide, and then we'll go over to the lines. The Bible is a book of the cosmos. Please elaborate.
The whole Bible is a book about the cosmos. And I had something in front of me just now. Let me hold up. Oh, yeah, I got it right now. When you see, if you look at this, I don't use the reference the New Testament too much because it's a Hebrew folklore. So I usually reference the Old Testament with the Jacob changed his name to Israel, and you got the tribes. If you look at their names and the field they was in, it lets you know they're talking about astrological signs, the zodiac signs. One person might be a fisherman or men. One person might be dealing with the goats and all that stuff. They give you clues, but you just not catching it. So the whole book is about is what's above, so below. We say it in church, what's above, so below. But we really ain't understand that, right? You see the sun in the sky, it's a sun in you. You see the moon in the sky, your body is a moon. I went to Indian reservation, and I was speaking. And a lady told me, she said, my daughter won't be able to make it because she's on her moon. I didn't know she understood that wisdom. I knew what she was saying because the moon cycle and the woman's body is the same cycle. They call it the same cycle. When my sisters were at that age, when they would have their cycle, I said, you're on the cycle. Now, she said, how you know this? Is it the bumps on my head? I said, no. I said, last month you was on cycle. It's a full moon. It's a full moon now, so you should be on your cycle. Last month you was on your cycle. It was a half a moon. It's a half moon now, so you should be on your cycle, right? So the Bible is a book about the cosmos. But not only is it a book about the cosmos, what's above, so below. The Egyptians also invented cars, a deck of cards. Some of you may already know this. I'm just passing on to some people who don't know. An ordinary deck of cards. You got 12 face cards, 12 months. You got 4 suits, 4 seasons. You got 52 cards in a deck. You got 52 weeks in a year. You add them all up, it's 364 plus one joker equals 365 days in a year. Once you add 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, ace is 1, jack is 11, queen is 12, king is 13. If you add all those up, it's going to be 364 plus 1. It's 365 years. The Bible is written that way. It's coded. Now, how I know it, because I know Egyptian wisdom. That scenario I gave you about the heart and the feather, that's symbolic language. So once I knew that, when I go to, when I see a movie, I can decode it. There's a cartoon online called All This and Rabbit Stew. All This and Rabbit Stew. When you look at that cartoon, you can see how it defames African people. What you don't see is the degree they went through in defaming African people, because you don't have the spiritual code. I got the code. And once I break down the code, you know, and I have to laugh sometimes, because it's like when you get to fight with somebody, right? Although, especially your enemy, right? If your enemy sneak one in there, right, you got to say, man, I had a hand. That was a good one. That was a good one. And I think about the fact that I fell for this stuff. I mean, I didn't just wake up and was conscious. I went through the same thing everybody else went through. Matter of fact, I wrote a song about a religious song, got it on the album. And when I look back now, I use it as an example to show people the height of my stupidity, the things I put in that song. And I even got it published. So just like I had to walk the walk and re-educate myself, we all can do the same thing.
All right, thank you. Just a few more Slido's comments. This brother is telling the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We need more classes like this to educate and re-educate our people. Brother, you are making us think today. And one more is, we need more of this. Where can I get more information? And we'll talk about that at the end. Let's go. Oh, one more. I'm loving this class. Man, mind. Mind blowing.
And I have a comment, too.
All right. Okay, go ahead, brother.
I have a comment, too. I'm not the type of person that could hear when somebody talking about somebody's religion, right? I don't get third-person information. I visit your mosque, your temple, your synagogue, and get the information firsthand. I don't want to talk about nobody's religion, but a friend of mine that knocks on my door all the time, and you know what denomination that is, right? So I said, I'm not going to listen to nobody else. I'm going there to find out what it's about, right? So I go to the place of worship. They have communion, just like in the Baptist church. You have bread and wine. And she says, you can't eat the bread and the wine. Well, ain't no problem. Maybe I can't eat it because I'm not that particular denomination, right? I found nobody was eating the bread and nobody was drinking the wine. So I said, that preacher but that put a piece of bread in his mouth. The preacher ate the bread and drank the wine. I asked the question, I said, wait a minute, you got 300 people in here, nobody's eating the bread, and nobody's drinking wine. How does the preacher get
to eat the bread and drink the wine. He said, only one can eat the bread and drink the wine are those who go into heaven. And I had to bite my tongue for laughing because I just read there's 2 million preachers on the planet. So if the preachers go, we ain't got a shot. You know what I mean? But said, so if 2 million preachers on the planet, you think your preacher going to be one of them. The thing that we said, my thing is that some things should just make sense to you. But like I said, common sense is not so common. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you, brother. All right, let's go to the lines. 845-277-9250. 804-9034. You're first. 804-9034. Do you have a question or comment for Brother Akebulin? 9034. Going once. Going twice. All right, let's go on over to 334-0148. 0148. Do you have a question or comment for Brother Akebulin?
Yes, thank y'all so very much for taking my call, Brother Marvin. I have one a question for you, Brother Kibolan. With regards to Jewish tradition, I've run across the fact that Adam's wife Eve, or Adam's woman Eve, wasn't his first wife. There was a woman by the name of Lilith, according to Jewish tradition. Had you ever come across any information that covered that? And I'm wondering, could, when I read that, let us make man in our own image, that in the creation of Adam and Eve, there were people before them that existed.
All right, brother, thanks for the question. And I probably heard it from you about the, it makes no difference whether there were other, Adam had another wife or not. It's folklore. It makes no difference whether the characters exist or not, because it's a story. You get the message, you can throw names away. But to your other point you mentioned about God said, let us make man our image. Now, ever since I didn't go to church, but I read the Bible. So my aunt goes to church 3 or 4 times a week, right? So I went at her house, right? She said, God said, let me make man in my own image. And I was eating some cereal. I said, no, it says, let us. I didn't have the Bible in front of me, right? She said, no, it says, let me. I said, no, it says, let us. How you know you don't even go to church, right? I said, go get the Bible. She went and got the Bible, got 3 or 4 pair of glasses, right? She had 3 Bibles. She said, let us, let us, let us. She said, how you know? I said, because I know African spiritual wisdom. That came before that, right? And she tried to explain why it says us, what it means the angel. I said, hold up. First of all, you said, it said, let me make man in my own image. Now you realize I was correct. It says, let us. Now you could try to explain it with the same breath. Well, what happens is, before there was God, there was Elohim. Elohim is androgynous. It's like male and female. It's not homosexuality. It's not male or female. It's the 2-in-1. Marvin got the 2-in-1. I got the 2-in-1. George got the 2-in-1. George got an X chromosome from his mother. He got a Y chromosome from his father, right? You know what I mean? A woman has an X chromosome from her mother. She got a Y chromosome from her father. So in ancient Egypt, it says there's a father god that has to be a mother god. Jews know that. So Elohim was androgynous, both male and female. And if you change it to, and Elohim said, let us make man in our image, it makes sense. But English want to put their stamp on a thing, just like the Jews want to put their stamp on an African concept. So they changed the word to God, and now it don't make no sense.
All right. Thank you, brother. Let's go on over to 704. Last four is 1319. You're next. You have a question or comment or statement. 704-1319. Go on once. Go on twice. Moving on. All right, 919-0288. 0288, you're next. You have a question or comment?
No question, no, but I do have a comment, Brother Marvin, and to Brother Kebalon.
Hey, Dr. Bruce.
Yes, sir. This lecture that Brother Kebalon did, and the ones he did a few weeks ago and the one before that, and I'm looking forward to the upcoming ones, it really makes me feel good because I remember Brother Kebalon would come to my store, would come to my lectures when I was in Richmond several times, and even when I was in Norfolk, Virginia, doing a book signing. Brother Cavalon was there. Sometimes he'll say nothing, ask no questions, make no comments, but he was reading and studying. So he really made me feel like I was listening to myself when he's breaking down the deck of cards and talking about the numerology in the Bible and Hilton Hotima, where he was coming from, and some of those kinds of things. So just want to commend Brother Kibbalon and ask you, Brother Marvin, to be sure to have him on again, because I think this is good for our people. So, Brother, keep on doing it, Brother. I really appreciate it.
And thank you, Bruce. Like I said, there's no such thing as an individual. I might have got something from you. So while I remember that it came from you, I'd like to give it credit. Like when you said the three M's, there's a missionary, merchants, and the merchant, I think.
You left out the merchants.
The merchants? All right, gotcha. I definitely got that from you.
Right, you gave the missionaries and the military. But the merchants, and that's what got that. And that relates back to what Brother George was saying. When those merchants came in and then they took control of our resources on our continent of Africa and then took our minds away from us through the missionaries, this is how they control us, by those things. And what you're talking about, they control us also by using their interpretations of our scriptures.
Yeah.
Hey, that's
and I'm finished, brother.
And when by the time you bring the military and you already lost, because you should have won with the missionaries and the merchants. Hmm. So when you go to an Islamic nation, you're going to have a hard time because you can't bring your religion in there. you can't bring it in. That's why you got to fight them.
That's right.
But you can go
to
some place. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we're waiting on part two, Brother Kevin, Brother Marvin, throwing us out to you. Waiting on part two, but whatever part this is for Kevin to come on and give the people some more.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce.
Nothing, Marvin, like you said, right? And sometimes people try to put me in a box. Yeah, religion is my favorite subject, but we've been attacked in all manner of people's culture. I remember Frances West Wilson said, if money was the problem, we'd be straight. We got plenty of money. If politics was the problem, we're straight. We got black governors. We had a black president. The thing is, we have been attacked in all manner of people's culture, history, religion, politics, economics, social order, and psychology. So I try to be well-versed in all those areas, not just one. So today you might think, hey, that guy is a religious guy, right? No, what should I get on politics? I'm just as versed in politics as I am in religion. I'm just as well versed in history as I am. I know Bruce Bridges knows history a little bit better than I do, right? But the point is, I try to study all aspects of people's culture because they attacked all aspects of people's culture, not just one thing. That's it.
All right. Thank you again, Dr. Bruce. We got him coming up in the month of May. Stay tuned for Recapturing the African Mind with Dr. Bruce. All right. Let's go back to the lines. 919-5430. 5430, you're up next. Do you have a question, comment, or statement for Brother Kevin? 5430.
So enjoying the show. Thank you for this good information. Thank you very much. I appreciate what y'all are doing.
All right. Thank you, sir. Keep listening. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's go back over to Slido for just a minute. Here's the next comment. Thank you for sharing, Brother Akebulan. We need more. We have an African-American – we are having an African-American Bible study today. We need a church that teaches us like this. What do you think about that, brother? They're calling this Bible study. You were throwing some scriptures.
That's
out
it. You already got the church. You already got the church. You just started yourself. You already got the church.
All right.
I think it should start with that group.
And then the last one for today is, this is the best religious study course I've had in a long time. All right. So with that said, Brother Kevin, you got some great feedback today.
Well,
so
I appreciate the comments more than the questions.
Final comments from you, brother. Thank you for a great course. And again, do your research, archivesbooks.com and the King James Bible 16:11. Go do your research on that, and I'll turn it back over to you, Brother Kebulin.
All right, I can need some reference books. All right, here's a book title, Hidden Wisdom in the Bible by Godfrey Hodgson, spelled G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y, G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y, Hodgson, H-O-D-S-O-N, Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3. It's another book called The Eastern Mystery System, because you need to know the Hebrew alphabetic code. You can't use the code. You can't decode it with the alphabet you use. And this book is called The Eastern Mystery by Hulse, H-U-L-S-E. It has Eastern Mysteries and the Western Mysteries by David Allen Hulse, A-L-L-E-N-H-U-L-S-E. Now, some of these books get real complicated, and I wish I could understand it, because it deals with numbers, right? And you never know what numbers a person is using, like I mentioned, the computer. And so I wouldn't be surprised if somebody on the ground could drop an airplane in flight. But he probably got something that's put a wedge between the ones on the ground and the ones in the air. So it's very important to know the numbers, and that will coincide with our ancient spiritual teachers, because the Egyptians were about math and numbers, and that's how you built the pyramids.
Right. Great class today, right? This is, again, education. This is the education component of the National African American Empowerment Association. His brother, Kebulin, again, a scholar. He is also an author, community activist, and he's out here. He's done the work. Dr. Bruce has called back years and years. Brother George talked about years and years of study and research that this brother is bringing forth to you to consider, right? Don't reject the knowledge when it comes to you. All right, thank you, Brother Kebulin. Brother George, final comments.
It was a great presentation, brother.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. That's it for this week. Hey, knowledge is power. Great presentation, right? Go look up the scriptures. Kebulin, do you have some of those scriptures in front of you that you shared today?
Well, but Genesis 16, you'll see that Abraham had a son named Ishmael. His name was Abraham. He was changed to Abraham. And you go to Genesis 22, you see that God said, Abraham, bring your only son Isaac to the altar, offer as a sacrifice to be. That's clearly an error, because Isaac is the only son. Also, when they talk about the Egyptians, the Israelites being in bondage to Egypt, Abraham's wife Sarah had an Egyptian. That was long before the Exodus. See, they don't deal with that slavery part. So there's a whole lot of stuff I can go through, right? But I ain't going to try to push it in now until we run out of time.
All right. Well, again, we'll bring you back to do more. We thank you. Again, it's Brother Kebulin. Great work today. And before we get off, do your research. The brother said, history is a mind changer. History is a mind changer. Learn your history. Do your work of doing the research so you can educate yourself, right? So you can recapture your African mind. We bring it to you, and now it's up to you to let it go down. And then you find a way to do the research to work on re-educating yourself. Next is perspective. It's always good to have an open mind, right? And the best way to create a fact is to research an opinion. And then you can form an opinion into a fact once you do your research. So do your research. There's lots of information out here. Knowledge is power. Use your ancient African wisdom to guide you. And lastly, we need to work together to build. No matter what you believe in, you first have to believe in yourself. And you were given power to do that because you're here on this earth. Do the work all week this week. Come back next Saturday. Tell somebody about African American empowerment. We need you, because we can't do it without you. Have a great day. And always remember, stay plugged in to the empowerment. Peace and blessings. Have a great day. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Brother Kebulin. Peace and blessings. Thanks, Brother George.